Now I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to guide us as we look at his word this morning. Our Father, thank you so much for how we have your word, and we just sang that lovely song, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I even read this morning about Joshua being commanded to meditate upon your word morning and evening so that it would go well with him. And we thank you for this incredible word we've been given. And we do ask for all of us to be reading it daily and growing in the truth. Thank you for the passage we're going to look at this morning. I ask that you would help us to understand it, that you would speak to us through your Spirit. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Colin and I are blessed and privileged to have eight grandchildren, as some of you know. Eight grandchildren, they're such a joy. And two of those grandchildren, Nora and Michaela, are identical twin girls. And they're nearly coming up to their ninth birthday. And they are absolutely identical. It's so hard to tell them apart. Except that a little while ago, one of the twins, her eyes sort of crossed over a line, whereas her twin didn't, and she needs glasses. Michaela needs glasses. Nora doesn't. Fantastic. We can tell them apart now. Isn't that good? Well, you know what? Let me tell you a little story. It just happened a little while ago. Nora and Michaela, they realise now that, you know, there's a difference between us. We got one's got glasses, one hasn't. And what happened is they decided, when they were going to school one day, for Michaela to give the glasses to Nora. And to do their hair the way they do it, their hair slightly different, to tell them apart. And they did that in order to fool the teacher and their friends. So, yep, case of mistaken identity. The Nora was being called Michaela, and Michaela was being called Nora. Little scallywags. I don't know where they get it from, right? But you know what? The reality is, for everyone who knows Nora and Michaela really well, it's amazing how, glasses or not, you can tell them apart if you know them by their character. They have a unique soul driving their human body, which is identical, very identical, and yet that unique soul allows them to have a unique character. And I love, probably a few months into them being born, I could tell them apart just by their character. They are, and so lovely to do that. You can find out who really is who, because they were trying to trick us way back. Now, I share that story with you this morning because as we continue in our series in Luke's Gospel, we're going to consider the true identity of Jesus. And this is so important to get right. Who is Jesus really? And we all know that he was a human, fully human. We know that he had human DNA, human blood. As basic as that. We also know in terms of his human lineage, he was of Jewish origin. And he also came into the world very plainly. That's in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2. There was nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. But the true identity of our Lord Jesus Christ was more than human. He was more than just a mere man. He was more than just the carpenter's son. And I hope you've come to that place to know that he is the Son of God. He is the Lord of glory. That is who Jesus is. That's his true identity. And as we go through Luke chapter 4, the beginnings of Jesus' earthly ministry, that's the first thing that really comes out strongly. The Gospel of Luke wants us to know straight away that this person who walked this earth is not just a mere man. He is the mighty, awesome Son of God, even though he looked absolutely human in every way. So let's have a look at the Bible this morning. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 4. And I'm actually going to go back a little bit to last week. We looked at Luke 4, 14 to 34, 14 to 30. And I want to bring out something that I never last week. So let's remember, what happened last week? Well, last week, Jesus went from Judea and he went all the way back home to Nazareth. That's where he grew up. So he went to Nazareth. And do you remember something happened there in the town of Nazareth, in the synagogue? We read that Jesus was handed the scroll of Isaiah, and he was asked to read, And he gets the scroll of Isaiah and turns deliberately to Isaiah chapter 61. Do you remember this? It was incredible. He turned to it and then he reads these words, which are recorded for us in Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favourable year of the Lord. And the way Jesus read it out, there was something special and significant. Everyone thought something's happened now, something special. All eyes are on Jesus. And then he said to them in verse 21, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Wow! That very moment, that 700-year-old prophecy compared to when Jesus was born was fulfilled the moment Jesus took that scroll and read it out. It was fulfilled. How incredible. It's amazing. And what I want to highlight from that passage is the scriptures. And Jesus fulfilling scripture is one of the big things that reveal to us his true identity. That's a very big thing to realize. Because the scriptures, that is the Old Testament, they speak of this one who would come into the world. This one who would come to reconcile us to God, to bring us back home to God, who would save us from our sins. This one was called the Messiah, according to the Hebrew language, and he's called the Christ, according to the Greek language. And you should know that Jesus is the one and only who has fulfilled every prophecy about him. He has fulfilled every scripture written about him so that we can be absolutely clear. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. His identity is revealed because of how he fulfilled scripture. And Jesus fulfilled this scripture here by just standing and reading these words in the synagogue of Nazareth. And of course, right through Jesus' life, not just at the beginning of his ministry, but right through, he was constantly fulfilling scripture. Even at the start. At the start, when he was born. Look at all the great scriptures that are fulfilled by Jesus. And not only that, but they are telling us who his true identity is. So you have Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. I can't wait to read these words to you. They are awesome. Micah chapter 5 verse 2. As for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from days of eternity. Wow! This one would be born in Bethlehem, that's what happened. And who is he really? The Eternal One. That's the one who was coming into our world. What about Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14? The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. So born of a virgin, impossible, but possible to God. Jesus came into our world through a young lady called Mary. And who is he really? Emmanuel. What a beautiful Hebrew word. God with us. And what about Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6? It says there, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Wow, these are incredible prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus, born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin. But his identity is also being revealed in these prophecies, aren't they? And Jesus, being the only one who has fulfilled these prophecies, who has shown to us that he is the one the scriptures are pointing to, we can be absolutely confident who he is. I mean, who gets close to any of these prophecies, fulfilling any of these prophecies? No one. Not even fulfilling one. It's only Jesus. It is absolutely clear who he really is. Even though he had a human form, a lowly human form, behind that lowly human form is God in the flesh, Emmanuel. Isn't it incredible? And Jesus fulfilled so many prophecies about himself, including all the prophecies about his ministry. It was told in the scriptures that he would speak parables, and he did. And he did all these incredible healings, just as it is spoken of in the scriptures. There's a time when John the Baptist is in prison, and he's quite disillusioned. And he sends his disciples to Jesus to see if, are you the one or not? He's a bit down in the dumps, poor John the Baptist. And I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 11, 3-6. John the Baptist's disciples said to Jesus, are you the expected one? Or shall we look for someone else? Jesus answered them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. So they would have gone back to John the Baptist and reported to John the words of Jesus, and you know what John would have thought? He would have said, yep, he's the one. Why would he have said that? He's fulfilling the scriptures. It is written of him, that's what he would do. And friends, what about these other scriptures? What about how he fulfilled scriptures that are just incredible? Written 1,000 years before Jesus came. In 1000 BC, before crucifixion even existed, Psalm 22, verse 16 says, as if Jesus is speaking in that psalm, they have pierced my hands and my feet. Well, that's like a big wow, isn't it? 1000 BC. How could that be? And what about Isaiah 53, verse 5, written 700 BC? He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus fulfilled every prophecy, even the details, even being pierced through, hands and feet. And his resurrection, that's spoken of as well. He fulfilled that. That's in Psalm 16, verse 10. For you will, this is Jesus speaking through the psalmist, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. So if we're still not there yet, not a Christian yet, I want you to be aware that there's no way around it. The scriptures speak of Jesus, and he's the only one who fulfills incredible prophecies about himself. They make it so clear to the whole world, if only the world would listen, Jesus is the one. Isn't it lovely to say that? He's the one. There's no other. Not even close. He is the one. Because of the scriptures that he lived out and fulfilled. But in Luke chapter 4, there are two other things I'm going to mention that also highlight to us Jesus' true identity. So the next thing we're going to look at, I'm going to read verses 31 to 34 of Luke chapter 4. And we read there, and he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. The Holy One of God. This is recorded for us. Something important is being said here in Luke's Gospel. What is it? Even the enemies, hang on, I better grab a drink. All right. Even the enemies of Jesus, look at this, the enemies of Jesus, the spirits, testify to who he really is, his true identity. Doesn't that amaze you? Here is a spirit, an unclean spirit, who's in this man. He can't help himself. He's not forced by Jesus to own up to who Jesus is. He can't help it. Before him is the one who is incredible. He is confronted by the one who is God in the flesh, Creator God, the one who made that demon before he turned away from God. He was a good angel and turned away from God. And so look what he says, though. Look at these words. He says, Jesus of Nazareth. Well, everyone agrees with that. That's where he grew up. The whole crowd would have agreed with that, but not. What about the next bit? He says, I know who you are, the Holy One of God, or God's Holy One. So what does that mean? Well, the demon, the unclean spirit, is acknowledging that Jesus has come from God. He is God's Holy One. That is the one set apart. Set apart to do what? Set apart to save us lot, to be our King, to be the Lord of heaven and earth. And the Spirit is acknowledging who Jesus is. Not only that, he's calling him the Holy One. God's called holy. He's acknowledging Jesus' divinity. What do you think of this? Spirits, not able to hold back, but they had to declare the true identity of Christ. I wonder what the crowds were thinking when they were saying this. Because most of the crowd, they don't believe. They just think Jesus is a mere man. But they're hearing spirits saying incredible things about him. We also have it later on too, in verse 41. Luke chapter 4, verse 41. Demons also were coming out of many shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. They knew he was the Son of God. They knew he was the Christ. And they couldn't help but declare it. And Jesus is rebuking them because he doesn't want his enemies to be the ones pronouncing who he is. He wants us to recognize it because he's fulfilling Scripture. And for another reason that I'll bring up later on. The spirits declare who Jesus is. I find that incredible. And look at Jesus' power over them. If I read Luke chapter 4, 35 to 37, we read these words. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst of the people, he came out of him without doing him any harm. And amazement came upon them all. And they began talking with one another, saying, "What is this message? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district. Wow. I just want to share this little point here. As I see the spirits rightly declaring who Jesus is, who his true identity is, I've got to tell you that as I think about what I read in the Bible and what I observe in life, I've got to say to you, all creation knows his true identity. Even the wind and the waves, they obey his voice. All angels, all demons, everybody knows who Jesus really is, except for one lot in his creation. And it's us. And that's really sad. The crown of his creation, only a small number of us know his true identity. The rest of mankind rubbish Jesus, and you know this, blaspheme his name constantly. What has gone wrong? All creation knows who the Creator is. They will gladly declare him to be the Son of God, the living God. But us. Wow, it's a huge thing. Alright, let's have a look at one more thing. And we're going to read some more verses. I'm going to read now Luke chapter 4, 38 to 40. The spirits, they testify of Jesus. The scriptures, they testify of Jesus. And now in Luke chapter 4, 38 to 40, we read these words. Then he got up and left the synagogue and entered Simon's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. So that helps us know Simon Peter. Simon Peter was married and he had a mother-in-law. And she had a fever, a high fever. Verse 39. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever and it left her, and she immediately got up and waited on them. Wow. For Jesus, it was effortless. to cause that fever, that high fever, to leave the body of Simon's mother-in-law. And I love how Jesus did it. He rebuked whatever was causing her to have the high fever. And it made me think, maybe, say it's a virus. Jesus had the power to send that virus away and to make her well instantly. What power! What a miracle! And if that was the only miracle he ever did, that would be enough to go, there's something special about this man. Isn't that true? And yet we know when we think of the miracles that Jesus did, there was huge ones. This is like a little one compared to the incredible miracles that he did. He gave sight to the blind. Even a man born blind. He caused cripples to walk again. Even a man who had been crippled for 38 years. I know we can be so familiar with these stories. This is incredible, isn't it? I think of how there was no disease Jesus couldn't heal. He was able to heal any leper. He was able to heal the deaf. He was able to heal people who had terrible chronic illnesses. There's nothing he could not do. What incredible miracles he did. The Apostle John calls all these miracles. He only records 7. And he also says at the end of the book, the Gospel of John, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to write down everything about what Jesus did. Do you love that? He's only got 7 in his book. And he calls every miracle, do you know what he calls it? A sign. Because every miracle was a sign pointing to the reality of Jesus' true identity. He knew the signs. Signs declaring who Jesus was. And then I think of some other signs. What about the feeding of the 5,000 from a boy's lunch? Where would you begin? And he fed 4,000 as well. What about these miracles? There's 3 that I want to connect together. He caused a young girl, 12 years of age, who had died that day, that very day she died, he rose her from the dead. The next miracle in terms of being raised from the dead is when Jesus meets a widow from Nain. The son would have died the day before. The funeral procession is occurring. Jesus stops the funeral procession. He's a day old, day dead, and causes and says to that man, young man, I say, get up. And he sits up in the coffin. Incredible. What about the last one? Very close to the time when Jesus would be arrested. And it's to do with Lazarus. Lazarus has been dead how long? 4 days. His body is decomposing. What incredible power Jesus had to cause every cell in that man's body to become alive. Wow, it's incredible. All these signs are pointing to us that he is indeed the Son of God, the great Messiah, the Christ. And when I think about these things, I'm going to share these things with you. We know that in this world, people follow all sorts of things. There's a whole lot of people following a guy called Muhammad. How many miracles did Muhammad do? It's pretty easy, actually. 0. He did none. And Buddha, a lot of people follow Buddha. How many miracles did Buddha do? None. Or Confucius, how many miracles did he do? None. And all the political philosophers and all these people, how many have they done? None. But there is one who came into our world who has done incredibly huge miracles that are signs to declare his glory. Jesus stands high and above all others. So going back to this, I'm just coming to the end now, and I can't help but get so excited about Jesus. I just love how you have not, if you believe in Jesus, you have not been hoodwinked. You haven't been brainwashed. No matter what the world says to you, Jesus is the one and only. Be absolutely confident in that. He is the one the scriptures speak of, and he fulfilled the scriptures. He is the one even the spirits declare to be who he is. And the signs, they point, every one of them point, the miracles of Jesus, to Jesus being the Son of God. And it's so important that we get Jesus' identity right. Do you know how important it is? If we don't get Jesus' identity right, then we will be like those guys at work who curse his name and blaspheme his name because they don't know any better. And we'll be like the people in Nazareth, in Jesus' hometown. What did they do? They began to say to each other, isn't this just the Joseph's son? Isn't this just the carpenter's son? And they didn't see him as they ought to see him. And they rejected him. And in fact, they even got upset with him. And what did they try to do? We saw that last week. They tried to push him over the cliff. And that's what we'll do too. If we don't get Jesus' identity right, we will push him away. We will push him out of our life. We'll push him out of society. That's exactly what's happening in our world today. Poor Jesus, our Creator, our Saviour, being pushed out. It's so important we know who he is. And if you know who he is, I know what happens then, because I've experienced this. As your eyes are open to the truth, I think of three C words. The three C words are this: I can't help but come to him. I can't help but call on him to save me. And I can't help but commit my life to him. Because he is God's son, given out of love, given to save me, given to bring me home to God. I can't help but come and call on him and commit my life to him. And it all revolves around me getting to understand who he really is, his true identity. And one thing separate, when I compare spirits and human souls, spirits will always be afraid of Jesus. They will be scared. Remember what that spirit said to Jesus? He said to him, have you come to destroy us? Because he knew Jesus had power to cast them into pits of darkness and ready for judgment and hell. But Jesus came for us. And we don't have to be afraid of him. We are to adore him. We are to love him because he came to save you. He came to be our everything. That's who Jesus is. He's a wonderful Saviour, Jesus. He's a powerful Saviour, Jesus. And he's a beautiful Saviour. I cannot speak enough of him. And I praise the Lord for helping me see who he is. I remember growing up with young people constantly mocking and ridiculing him. In my workplace, it was constant. And I could easily have been caught up with all that. I can't explain it, how God allowed me to see who Jesus really is. And I could not help but fall before him and give my life to him. Well, we've got a lovely song to finish the service with. It's called What a Beautiful Name. And it speaks of Jesus' beautiful name. And it says also he a wonderful name and he has a powerful name. What a joy it is to sing this song this morning. Oh, what a lovely song to sing. I'm going to read the bridge to you again and I'll close in prayer. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. Can you imagine heaven? All heaven knows who Jesus is. Absolutely standing on their feet. I don't know how else to put it. Just so overwhelmed by the great King laying down his life for his people and taking up his life again. And then it says, you have no rival. Wow, what a thing to say. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names.
Amen.
Amen indeed. That's our Jesus. I just want to say to you, I trust you know Jesus. It's been revealed to you who he really is. And you've been drawn to him. Not repelled, but drawn to him. That you've come to him. If you aren't there yet, we urge you to come and see me or someone. And we'd love to lead you to that place where you come to know Jesus as your most beautiful friend and wonderful friend and powerful one who can save you to the uttermost. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for as we work our way through Luke's gospel, right at the beginning of his ministry, that big thing is mentioned, who he really is. Father, most humans have got Jesus wrong. And it saddens our heart, especially our loved ones and friends. They have dismissed him. They either don't believe he even existed, or they play it right down to think that he's just a mere man. And Lord, how wrong they are. But Lord, thank you, if we are yours, thank you for opening our eyes and enabling us to see that Jesus is everything we could ever imagine, the lover of our soul, even though he also be the great King. We thank you that we could sing this beautiful song to finish. His name is a beautiful name. His name is a wonderful name. His name is a powerful name. We thank you that it's been our joy to come to him and call on him and commit our life to him and to be saved. We love Jesus more than anything. And we pray, Lord, for others to come and join our beautiful group as well. Thank you for ministering to us today. And we want to say, Lord, we want to glorify Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. That is your desire for us to do that. And I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. And I got a cuppa. Pretty good, eh?